Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly.
What's up, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans? This is Alan Bishop of If You Have Ghosts, You Have Everything. You may know me better as Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest, but if you're at all interested in the Fortean, high strangeness, the paranormal, and the unexplained, then you should tune into my new podcast, If You Have Ghosts, You Have Everything, available now wherever you get your podcast, including Spotify, Google Podcast, and Amazon.
Welcome back to this awesome episode of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We have a full house here tonight. It's awesome. And in contrast to last year, we've got the president of Kentucky Bourbon Festival here to tell us about the 2024 festival. Super excited about all the changes. But if you remember last year, Randy, that it was just me and you. It was, but after that 2023 festival that we were all at, look at this. You're surrounded by friends. We've got CT.
What's up, everybody?
We got Super Nash.
Yes, in the house.
We got Whiskey. Okay. And we've got Barrelhead, one of the our main news edition, and myself, Tiny. Just make sure www.scotchybourbonboys.com for everything Scotchy Bourbon Boys, and check us out everywhere. And it's been pretty good lately. So we want to get right into it. We don't got a lot of time. Hopefully nobody gets stormed out, because the storms have been going across everywhere, Ohio, in South Carolina, just like we're all expecting, you know. And Randy, you've already had a close call already, but it's good that you've got your power and all that, you know, you're persevering. Right?
It got nasty. My old neighborhood that I lived in before I moved here had 20 houses with the roofs taken off, so we got very lucky. Semis flipped over right on 71, right a mile away from our house. There's two semis tipped over in the tornadoes. So,
Now that was earlier. Right now, it's okay though, right? You're pretty good so far.
Yeah, and my trampoline that I was trying to get rid of is still sitting in the backyard.
You just made sure you put it up. Yeah, that's awesome. So the festival, let's get right into this year's festival and what's coming up right now. The reason why we wanted to get you on, and we get you on at this time pretty much every year. It's pretty exciting what's coming up.
You're covering your face, Tiny.
Sorry.
We asked them to do that.
We want to see that smiling mug. No, so, I mean, we are super stoked. I mean, we've been killing it. We're moving up our ticket sales 3 weeks earlier than we were last year, which was about 2 weeks earlier than the year before. And so April 17th, 2 weeks from tomorrow, our tickets go on sale to the public. But everybody's here. It's on this call, and most people are watching are Bourbon Insiders. So they've already subscribed to the Ease newsletter, and they know that 2 weeks from today, they will be able to buy their VIP tickets and their general admission tickets before they go on sale to the public. So last year, if you know, our VIP sold out in 4 minutes, and we're anticipating the same thing. So if you are in the Insiders group, pay attention. Don't fall asleep to the switch. It'll be a very similar process to last year, but a little extended shopping cart. So you can put your stuff in your shopping cart, go back in and do your add-ons and still have time to check out. So we're hoping everybody gets their chance.
Yeah, that was, it was on the level of like Rolling Stones tickets. You know, it's kind of like it's very difficult to get two VIP tickets. You know, that was that, but you gotta like be creative and everything like that. But then
Randy, have you ever been around Jeff when he's stressed out, something's not working the way he wants it to work?
Every time.
Oh my dear God, we'll be on a fine way to help with him while you're trying to get VIP tickets.
Yeah. that was one crazy evening last year.
Yeah.
When they went on sale.
No, I know. I was getting
Take that back. That was one crazy morning because we were all in the morning when they all went on sale.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Ross, what's going on?
So, Randy, can you tell us how many different levels of tickets that are going on sale this year?
Well,
there are different categories.
So, a few of you, including a couple people on this call, were with us pre-change to the new Bourbon Festival, and then the first year when VIP was upstairs in Spalding Hall, and then obviously the last couple of years, including this year, we've moved out into the big parking lot, and each year the venue gets bigger and it gets better. But we used to just have two VIPs. So it was VIP and then the Flask Force with our partner, with Jacob Bromwell. And so everybody would get that level, would get a complimentary built-in kind of a custom flask. So this year now we've got four levels. We've got the Decanter Club, limited to 50, and they get a crystal decanter from Glencairn, and they not only get the VIP experience, but they also get included tickets to all five of our distillery showcase events. Thank you, Tiny.
Yep.
So during the weekend, there are two Friday, two Saturday, and one Sunday special events with only 150 people in it. And so the Decanter Club automatically gets tickets to each one of those. So you'll have Bart's on Bourbon Company, you'll have Beam, you'll have Angel's Envy, Rabbit Hole, Heaven Hill, and then Michter's. So it'll be a pretty fun lineup of elevated experiences. And then there are two Flask Force levels. So the last couple of years has been one Flask Force level. This year we're elevating it. Again, Jacob Bromwell, our partner, there is going to be 50 Flask Force Gold, which each one of those people get a 24-karat gold-plated flask, as well as the other VIP accoutrement. And the regular, if I dare say regular, Flask Force partners will get a red, white, and blue flask to commemorate the 60th anniversary of Congress declaring bourbon America's native spirit. So they do a specialized, like a patina that is chemically accelerated. So it'll look like it's been sitting there for 50, 100, 150 years, but they do it chemically. So you get this very cool patina to your copper flask. So there'll be 100 of those available with a limited to just the KBF. And then obviously the enthusiast, which is our entry level VIP, which is still amazing because you get all of the venue, the air conditioned, the four bars, the catering, all 1 hour early entry for all of our VIPs. So it'll be very cool. So those will probably sell out in 5 minutes this year, if fingers crossed. You know, that's, we wanted more and more of those, but we also want to protect the experience. So I've always kind of said 10 to 12% of our overall ticket offering will be those VIPs, because if everybody's a VIP, then nobody is a VIP. So that's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah, that's so what I, but what, so then those VIPs go on sale with the experiences, but also the three-day tickets are going on sale too at the same time.
Yeah, all the tickets will go on sale, and there is an early bird discount for those insiders. If you're just looking to get in for the 3 days, you don't need the VIP experience. You just want to be there. We'll have 55, 56 distilleries, close to 200 different brands, expressions to sample, and we'll get back to this later, but to buy. So this year is going to be amazing, because in Kentucky, at the Bourbon Festival, you can not only sample from the distilleries, but you can buy bottles directly from the distilleries. So that'll be huge. But just for the three-day GA, you get in at noon. It's a six-hour day on Friday and Saturday, and a four-hour day on Sunday. And you can do various upgrades and get your premium education. But if you just come in at the three-day level, you'll have all of those distilleries. You'll have two different cigar smoking areas, if that's what you're into. You'll have 15 food trucks from Louisville Food Truck Association, an expanded marketplace, and then music. It'll probably be four different stages with different bands and solo artists playing during the weekend. So it'll be very cool.
So those tickets, the three-day passes, which I think are fantastic. If you can't get a VIP and you get the three-day pass, it's not like you're missing. The VIP experience is something special, but so is the three-day passes. And if you're into whiskey, there's more than enough stuff to do in those 3 days. It's almost impossible to do it all. You almost have to plan on coming back and taking notes to what you tasted and where you were able to, you know, really pay attention. But it seems like every year there's somebody, you can't just do it all. I mean, it's just so much. But with those 3 day passes, where in the past we kind of usually for the sellout got into a little, you know, you had some time. But what I'm noticing in the industry, and especially since you've evolved this festival to where it's at, I really feel that there's going to be, it's not going to be the normal, you could take your time. You need to get those, if you need to get your tickets pretty much right away is what I'm saying, because from everything that I've been seeing in the industry, maybe, you know, when you're talking about this festival, it really has, with the amount of that, those 3 day passes and the amount of bourbon you have access to, where last year, I think we were still in the, you know, we were still in the dating stage, the engagement. But this year, we're married and it's a honeymoon, and people know what's out there. And it's, I'm looking forward to what the distilleries are going to be selling, because, you know, I really feel Heaven Hill had a grasp, but there's a lot of distilleries that didn't quite have the grasp on it. I know Beam did really well, but you could, you know, they can do special bottles just for the festival. I mean, there's so much they can do.
And just on that point alone, last year, for those who haven't been to the festival, the state of Kentucky, the Commonwealth, legalized things a year and a half ago, and almost 2 years ago. And last year was really the first year that a couple of the big distilleries kind of got it. A couple of the craft folks did. But this year, the ones that didn't sell saw the ones that were selling last year, saw the potential, saw some of the special brands that they're bringing out. So all of those that you mentioned, Beam and Heaven Hill and so forth, they will continue to bring out probably not the mainstream kind of stuff, but some special things. Thank you. And all the ones that weren't involved last year saw the potential. So literally since that weekend last year, Stacy and I have been talking with the distilleries, encouraging them to up. And there's probably, that I know of, six or eight that are releasing first new products at the Bourbon Festival. So they're using the Bourbon Festival for new product launches, and then it'll go. And Absolutely. And right there, and Greg's watching, I'm assuming, that was the first single barrel pick that Chicken Cock did back to 1855. In their history, the Bourbon Festival, that also happens to be the one that I'm...
I saw you open it up and pour it. Yeah, right at the beginning of the show.
But so the single barrels alone, I mean, in the first year that we did it in 2021, there were 12. And the next year, there was 20. Last year, there was right around that 18 or 20. This year, 2024, we will be close to, if not over, 30 different single barrel partnerships with these distillers.
So we've got
25 distilleries, and at least 30 of them, and Stacy's probably yelling at home, no, there's 34, or there's 38, whatever.
Well, yes, but she's also very happy that you're underplaying how many there are.
Yeah. The cool thing is, you know, the distilleries, because of the law, we can go, and you all are joining us on a pick. We can go out and pick something for the Bourbon Festival. It'll have its own little tag, you know, like a little neck thing, you know, on the bottle. So it'll talk about the Bourbon Festival, and you can buy it and take it home. And they're only going to be available during that weekend. And some of these are selling out on the Friday and Saturday, you know, before we get into the Saturday and Sunday. But the fact that these distilleries can all sell, and they're putting the KBF, you know, tagging on there, and they're allowing us the honor of coming into their distilleries and selecting something, and then they're going to sell it on our behalf. So it really is a cool, and that's probably the most significant growth that we've seen in this festival since I came in January of 2020, is the distilleries are getting involved, engaging with us on the single barrels. They're now doing things this year. We're challenging each of them to do more interactive kind of things, games and a little, you know, lounge areas that hold the guests and give them a place to hang out during the weekend. And we're doing a contest for the best distillery activation. So it's more about everybody's competing now and upping it. And they see their neighbors last year doing something really cool. And gosh, I wish I would have done that. And so we've been working with them over the last year to get them to step up and not just have great spirits to sample and buy, but also up their game when it comes to the presentation of the brand and also the engaging piece of it. If you have 7,000 people on 3 days and all the distilleries are just doing the sampling, you still have to provide areas for them to sit and hang out. But now if all of a sudden those 55 distilleries are sampling, selling, and expanding their footprint and kind of giving that experience, now every one of them is a hangout place. And the light bulb kind of collectively went off last year, and we've been working with them literally every time we talk to them about how can you step up your game and engage people and represent your brand rather than just being a trade show where you're sampling and hopefully selling, but also giving people that experience.
Yeah, last year the addition of the cigar lounge, I thought, kind of brought that to the forefront, because people would get a drink and they'd come to the cigar lounge, sit down. They had a nice area to sit and enjoy a cigar, and that I thought made that whole transition, like you're talking about, so much better.
Yeah,
and we've been trying. CT, you know that we've been trying. A couple of years ago, we had a cigar lounge plan, and it went flat. It didn't get root and take off. Last year was the first year that we got potential, and this year, probably the biggest single thing that you're going to be able to see when you approach the festival and when you walk in those gates is we're elevating that again. Literally, we're running out of space to go out, so we're going vertical. We're building the first ever double deck structure. So the first floor will be the festival shop where you can buy all your merch. And then second floor, the entire upper level is going to be cigar lounge. So you're up there. And people find, sometimes not everyone's a cigar fan. So if you're up here, the smoke's blowing it away. And we have little suites. So if you and five of your friends want to get together and rent a cigar lounge, you can actually have your own little suite within the lounge for six people on the railing. So you're up on the double decker looking out over the people. It's kind of like a little nod to my Churchill Downs experience, where you can have the best seat right on top of the track, but everybody's on the railing watching, you know, watching the infield. watching the people.
So how are you gonna reserve those suites? Do you like gotta get there like right away in the morning and put your, how's that working?
We're doing online reservations, like the same with our box office. So you can buy your tickets in a couple weeks and then you can go back in and reserve your suite. So it'll be $75 per person for the hour. And that's what the cigar smokers that are like giving us feedback are saying. You know, that's the time it takes for a couple friends to get together and enjoy a cigar and a cocktail. And we're partnering with Angel's Envy and maybe another one or two distilleries. So when you arrive, you'll walk in and you'll have a cocktail ready for you. You'll have this really cool lounge furniture, not outdoor patio furniture, but actual like leather furniture and a table where you can sit there and kind of make it your own little space. We're partnering with Clayton and Kroom, which is a leather company based here in Louisville, and they do premium leather goods. And so we're working with them on a couple of premium that when you rent that suite for that hour, you get a couple of those little add-on takeaways, as well as the cocktail, as well as that kind of exclusive experience that not everyone's going to get. I mean, look, six people, 318, probably fewer than 200 people out of that 7,000 will get that opportunity to be in one of those suites and enjoy the festival from that perspective.
Hey, CT. CT, well, you're in charge of booking that for us.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, I know a guy that probably will get it handled for us, and his name's Steven, so I'm going to give him a bonus.
We'll go up there with Steven Fonte. Yeah, that's a good one to do it. So, Nash, you have questions? That's awesome. The cigar lounge sounds fantastic, Randy. Good.
That's just a new one. We're outside of Evergreen Liquors. We're having a tent where people can sample and buy bottles. And outside of that, it's going to be a ground level, like a patio fenced off where people can also sit and hang out and smoke their cigars. And that'll be, you know, obviously that's included in the price. So I don't want to communicate that the only way you're going to have this experience is if you rent it. There's other opportunities to be in there, so I wanted to clarify that. But go ahead, Nash. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
We do have a couple people asking, on the 17th, exactly what time do the tickets go on sale online?
It'll be noon on the 17th, and if you're signed up through our new website, kybourbonfestival.com, you sign up, and then at that same point, you'll get instructions ahead of time. But noon on the 16th, which is the insider, the private pre-sale will also happen.
So awesome. So do you have to re-sign up at the new website? Or does the old pat? Okay, that's what I thought. So that clears that up.
Carried over. But, I mean, we've had some technical issues in the last week or so. And I hate to say it, but part of launching the new website and doing all the GoDaddy and Microsoft and things, mm-hmm. I mean, if you are in question, you know, whether you are signed up, it wouldn't hurt to take the 5 seconds. I just did it myself today. I went in and I signed up and I got the message saying you're already an insider. So, I mean, just to be safe, we believe that the whole database transferred. But if you're sitting there and going, gosh, I really want to get in on the 16th, go to kybourbonfestival.com. Go in and sign up. It takes 5 seconds to do it. And you'll get that little error message that says, oops, you're already in there. So just double check.
Yeah, that was another one of the comments that I was going to ask about, because they had asked earlier. They were the ones that asked what time, but they also said that we were Bourbon Insiders. So did we have to sign up again? And so that was good information. So they know now to just double check. And if you are, you are. And it'll tell you. And we'll go from there.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we have the last count. Earlier last week, we're at 30,000, give or take, insiders. So we're selling 800 VIP tickets and probably 5,500 to 6,000 GA tickets. So if you are interested, and the pre-sale for the GAs, it's a $5 price. Basically, you get to buy the three-day ticket for what last year's pricing was before, you know, and it was $175. If you miss that, it goes to 180. So we're really trying to be sensitive to, we're not price gouging people. We, you know, there's a little bit of a discount, but there's also an incentive to get in early.
Yeah. And one of the good things about being able to get in early too is being able to get in line and for all those barrel picks. And that was one thing that really went wild last year. And I'm sure it's going to be even better this year.
Well, thanks, Nash. I mean, 2 years ago, VIP said we want our own gate and we want an hour early admission. So last year we delivered that, both.
Yep.
And this year they want that. But they also wanted better, you know, more catering and more bar service. And this year, that if you were in that VIP penthouse last year, it was 40 feet by 140. This year it's 66 feet by 160. The entire venue will be floored and carpeted, including the new 20-foot extension, which is going to be a porch. So that entire length of that VIP penthouse will have a 20-foot porch open, but covered with flooring, extra tables and chairs. And the windows were like that clear tent vinyl. Mm-hmm. This year we're going full glass. So we're actually having glass windows so you can be inside and look out. People are on the outside that didn't get in can kind of look in and see what they're missing. We're adding a hydration station. So if you're into the IV hydration for the weekend, either recovering or building up for the weekend in prep, that will be there. More catered food, better bartending. I didn't wear my watch, but Oris timepieces is now the official timepiece of the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, and they will have a mobile, like an Airstream converted to a mobile watch showcase, so you'll be able to go in and get exclusive deals on some watches.
Welcome, Oris. Yeah.
Absolutely. And we're also creating a separate VIP-only merch shop, so you can come in and buy two or three items that are VIP elevated brands that you wouldn't be able to get at the main festival store that you can only buy inside VIP. So again, we're continually trying to make sure that we're listening to what VIPs wanted. They wanted more lockers to store their goodies when they buy during the year, so we're adding more lockers. The flooring and the carpeting and the whole experience is going to be very cool.
Awesome. And people who haven't been to the festival, that haven't been a part of the VIP, maybe, you know, the other thing about it that's pretty amazing is when you go in the VIP tent, you're not only going to get all these special, you know, the things that you're doing to the tent itself and the food and catering, and but special pours. This is where you're going to get some pours that you will not get at the distillery's tents outside in the normal area. So
yes.
I don't know, it's hard to relate to people how big of a deal that is, but that's why that sells out in 4 minutes and probably will sell out faster this year, is because it is so exclusive. The opportunity to meet people like Kabe that comes in and talks to everybody and brings a bottle and says, hey, here's what we got, you know, and that's a special thing that has that you don't get anywhere else.
And CT, that's a good point and a call out. We've been working on this for years, and obviously COVID kind of threw a wrench into it. We had an option for master distillers and brand ambassadors to come into VIP and meet our VIP guests, but COVID kind of said, okay, we don't want to have our master distillers, you know, that kind of contact. But the last couple of years, we've been working towards that. And I believe this year will be one more step closer to having that. When you're in there, it's kind of like a backstage pass for Lollapalooza. I mean, you're not only seeing and rubbing elbows with them out on the lawn, but you're going to get a kind of peel the layer back and go backstage and meet some of the icons and the up-and-comers, people that, you know, maybe you haven't heard of, but you should, right? And that's the brands and the people behind it, which has kind of been our mantra since day one, is focus on the spirits and the people who make it, and that continues this year.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So there's always, so the hours, are they going to be similar to last year as far as it's going to be
identical? So noon to 6, noon to 4, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for GA, and VIP will be 11 a.m. on each of those days. So early entry. And then Thursday night, all the VIPs get into Bourbon in the Air. And we've made a few extra tickets available, but very limited. So if you all remember, and Jeffrey, I know you and Nash, the first year after the rains, we were in evening, Bourbon in the Air, all the lights and the string lights and everything. But we got away from that the last couple of years, missed the mark a little bit, admittedly. So this year we're going to be 6 to 9. 9:30 actually will be the end of it, but bar, you know, the distilleries will sample up until 9, but people will be able to stay until 9:30 before they have to leave. But we're really trying to maximize the lighting. We're going to uplight all the trees and throw lighting on Spalding Hall and kind of bring back that feel that we had in 2021 this year.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And another thing that allows is once that closes down, then everybody's able to go out throughout the town of Bardstown and experience it, because all of the bars and restaurants are open that night, and all of them have something going on that
right
night, and you're able to experience all of that.
Well, and that's a great point. And you all remember a couple of years ago, we were open till 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Well, the last 3 years, we've closed at 6 because we want to breathe people in. We want to give them that unique festival experience, but then let them go and reset and go back out into the community, go out to the distilleries, go out to the restaurants and bars. And that's true of even Louisville. So, I mean, we're a Bardstown festival, but there's a lot of our distilleries that are in the kind of the region around Louisville. And we've got hotel packages in downtown Louisville. So you can stay there. You can actually make your reservations this year through the box office, through the website. So you can buy your tickets. You can get your hotel reservations. And we're doing free shuttles included in the packages from downtown Louisville to the front gate of the festival in Bardstown and back. So if you're there and you want to go back out and you want to do something in downtown Louisville, we'll make sure we get people back in time to enjoy the whole region, not just Bardstown itself. Because, you know, it's a small town. There's a lot of density of people that come in. 85% of the people that come to this festival are from outside of Kentucky. So there's a lot of people coming in doing the Bourbon Trail the week of. They end with us, or they come to us and they're, you know, extending on. But that's a lot of pressure on hotels and a small town's infrastructure. We don't, you know, Bardstown doesn't have the Uber and Lyft that you would expect. So that's something you really got to think about when you're planning out is where you're staying. There will be opportunities for people to move around town safely, but it's a little bit more involved than just pulling up your Uber or Lyft app and calling for a car.
And having that designated driver.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Laura is asking, what about hotel availability? I would strongly suggest to do it now. It's booking up already. There's still probably some availability, but it's this area, and that's a great idea, Randy, as far as the shuttle to Louisville to disperse some of the people so that you know, because that as Whiskey knows, last year when he was trying to book I think his Airbnb canceled on him and he had to do it later. And when you start looking and you're doing it in as maybe as early as July, that whole area is pretty much booked up for that. So doing it now is very advisable. That's for sure.
Well,
we're just 5 months off from the
right,
right now.
6 months from us all over. Yeah. And Whiskey's experience wasn't typical. I mean, they actually looked him up and did a little Google search, and then that's why they bumped him.
Yeah.
Oh. Jeff reported me to Homeland Security.
All seriousness, people will, before they leave this year's festival, they will book next year's hotels in Bardstown. Yeah. And you know, we've grown. So there's Elizabethtown, Shepherdsville, Louisville, and we're talking downtown right now. So the Marriott, Hotel Distill, the Omni, some really nice properties that are stepping up. I think there's 7 or 8 that are participating in the program. So you can actually go in and kind of one-stop shop and not only to get your tickets, but get your hotel. And new this year is our online merchandise shop. So you can buy your 2024 Bourbon Festival concert tee with the logo on the front and all the distilleries listed on the back. So we're kind of get ahead of the game to where we can actually get it fulfilled and shipped to you and then wear it to the festival this year instead of just buying it from our store.
All right.
How do you get ahead?
You know, to talk about hotels, I just, without curiosity, went to a Holiday Inn because we've stayed at the Holiday Inn Express. And I put in the festival dates, and they're already sold out. Tickets haven't even gone on sale.
Yep.
So.
And Minaj is a dear friend of the festival. And
he runs
the little trolley, and he's one of our Bourbon Guild members. But that is the case. We announced last this year's festival dates in August last year. So a month before the festival, people were coming in, knew what this year's dates were, and they do. They leave. When they're checking out, they're knocking in, you know, making sure they got the festival dates locked in for this year.
So, well, talk about the week that, just quick, about the week that the festival is this year. Don't assume it's the same week that it's been for the last 31 years. It's not.
Great point. Yeah, we moved up a weekend earlier, so we've been traditionally the third weekend of September, and you know September is National Bourbon Heritage Month, so it's a big month for all of the distilleries and for us. So we moved up a week, so we're now the 13th, 14th, and 15th, with Thursday the 12th being Bourbon Veneer. So I mean, we've been around the 15th the last couple of years, but we should have been the 19th through the 22nd this year, but we moved up. One of the main reasons we moved up, I'm fully transparent, Bourbon and Beyond is a big music festival in Louisville. They're on that weekend, and we wanted to make sure we had hotel rooms. We wanted to make sure we had access to all of the fencing and tents and golf carts and all the forklifts and air conditioning units that we have to rent to build this little city. So we moved up a week just to kind of avoid that. But we know there's a lot of people that like to come in and go to the Bourbon Festival, then maybe they go to Bourbon and Beyond in the evening. But we do want to make sure that everyone knows it's not going to be the same weekend. So Tiny, thanks for calling that out.
Yeah, because that's and that's something you're always willing to do to make sure that you're able to give us the best festival experience. I mean, and it should be a little bit easier, like you said. Plus, if you want to come in for the festival, stay the week after the festival, do the Bourbon Trail, and finish up with Bourbon and Beyond. What kind of, I mean, if you want to really do bourbon, that would be the way to do it. So, but make sure that you come in early. That's for the first week. The second week, we really don't care what you do.
Right. And we know, I mean, 85% of the people that come to the festival are coming from outside of Kentucky. And as much as we'd like to believe that we're drawing from all 50 states because of just the festival, that's not the case. They're timing their visit to include the festival, but they're coming and doing the Bourbon Trail, that whole, probably a 10-day impact. If you look at a Bourbon Trail attendance, it's strong all year round, but there is definitely a curve to the positive during, you know, around that middle of September when we are.
So you got to look at the dynamic of your festival, okay? So one of the reasons why that this is such a great festival is this is where the person who's serious about bourbon but maybe has a job and isn't just completely engulfed, they might collect the bourbon, but they're not, it's not a business to them. Whereas when you go down to Kentucky, you see that business, that secondary market always happening. You go into lines and there's, but this is a place where you get in and you get your tickets, and there's stuff that's normally reserved for those lines in Kentucky that are available in this festival. And it's not as appealing for a flipper to spend $450 or, you know, the kind of money he would have to spend to get those bottles. So it's more for the average bourbon collector to be able to really get some really good bourbon. And that's one of the things I love about the festival. It's just like when you're in there, we see people from Ohio that are so, you know, we see people from Wisconsin that are part of these bourbon groups, and everybody's having a good time. Plus, you're going home with some of the most spectacular bourbon. I mean, bottles that if you were just coming down to Kentucky, you're not going to get unless you know what you're doing.
Well, great point. And I don't follow the secondary market as much as some. But to your point, Tiny, it's not a tater fest.
Exactly.
I mean, people aren't buying the tickets and stand in line to turn on and flip it. You know, it doesn't happen, I'm sure. But for the most part, these are people that are serious enthusiasts that want to come in and drink it and enjoy it. And some also very important is it's not just for the advanced bourbon enthusiasts. I see that all the time. There are people that are coming in, and their first real interaction with this kind of culture is at the Bourbon Festival. So you might have a reluctant spouse that's coming along, and okay, I'll try it out. And they engage that way, and all of the distilleries are aware of that. So it's not an intimidating kind of experience. I mean, you can make it what you want. If you want to really nerd out and deep dive and talk to the master distillers and engage, you can do that all day long. But you can also come in, just look at like a craft beer or a wine festival where you're just coming in to kind of learn and stick your toe in the water and kind of, you know, maybe buy a couple of your favorites. I mean, there are people that I know that have never been into this experience, and they bought two or three bottles because they really enjoyed the sample and the experience. They wanted to buy the bottle to take home so they could kind of relive that fond memory. So that, I just want to be clear, for people who haven't been to the festival, it's not this like Comic-Con where you got all the extreme people. There's a lot of people that are just kind of learning how to enjoy the whole bourbon experience. So we work really hard to be very inclusive and welcoming to all levels of,
you know,
from the introductory all the way to the expert level.
And the other thing I want to go on record saying is I did a lot of walking around and interviewing couples last year during the festival, and I was getting a lot of feedback, and I was asking them what they liked about the festival, and a bunch of them, some of them, the couples were into bourbon, and the other one part of them wasn't. And what they liked about it was having all those craft tents and setups and all. So some of them were going in shopping and doing some of the craft. And also there was a couple of craft beer setups there where one of them didn't like bourbon, but they liked the craft beer. It was
Tom Ranch, Lexington.
So, and then, you know, then there was a couple that, their significant other liked the bourbon and all, but the other one didn't drink at all. But then, like the Staven Bean coffee and all that, she was going around and the food and the coffee and the other drinks that she was able to sample and stuff. So, you know, it was a whole plethora of different things that these people were liking, and the crafts and stuff like that, that, you know, brought everybody together and was able for each significant other to enjoy the festival together.
That's great. Great point, Ash. And a couple of years ago, up until 2021, the craft level distilleries weren't included in the Bourbon Festival, really. I mean, if you go back to 2019, I think somewhere around here, we got a barrel head that had 11 of the distilleries that were involved in 2019, and now we're at 55. And over half of those 55 distilleries are the craft. Either they're new or they're emerging. So we've got like Bespoken Spirits, which just launched. You've got Peerless. You've got Pursuit. On and on and on. You know, so there are various levels of being established. But when people come in that main gate, you see Four Roses, you see Maker's Mark, you see Beam, you see Heaven Hill, you know, Wilderness Trail, Wild Turkey, the list goes on. But everybody wants to look and deep dive into the craft area in that lawn. It, number one, it's a very cool park-like setting, but it's a small venue. So you're there for 3 days, you will have ample opportunity to visit everyone. But everyone wants to, like, okay, visually, okay, all the big ones are here, I get it. Now I want to go and try to explore and discover a new brand and take something home. You know, we laughed a couple years ago. EJ Curley was the belle of the ball. Nobody had heard of EJ Curley, and people left saying, wow, that's amazing juice. You know, every year there's someone new that kind of steps up their representation and the product that they offer. And that's really what we're all about. We've had so many distilleries that have come to us and say that the Kentucky Bourbon Festival was a game changer for their business. The networks that they've made, the distributors that they've picked up, multiple states distribution because of what they were able to start with us. So, I mean, I take that seriously also. I mean, there's definitely an industry perspective to what we're doing here. And we always want to make sure our distilleries are happy. If the distilleries are happy, everyone else is happy. And that's kind of our core mantra. The customer is second. In this case, the ticket buyer is second, and every one of them has been fine with that because they know if the distilleries are number one, they will also be able to benefit from it.
So Someone asked about the great tent and the experiences of, you know, each day you have a couple experiences that are extra. Are those happening again this year?
The great tent is the large tent that everyone knows if you've been there. We've moved it out into the paved area, the church parking lot, the neighbor. But it's the same program. So on Friday and Saturday, there'll be a bourbon opener at 12:30 to 2. And then a bourbon engagement that's 4 to 5:30, and then on Sunday the Michter is kind of the brunch theme, which will be 12:30 to 2. So again, I mentioned earlier we've got Bardstown Bourbon Company, Jim Beam, we've got Angel's Envy, we've got Rabbit Hole, and we've got Michter's. I believe that's the five that will be in there for the weekend, and they've all had new offerings. So like today, we just confirmed that Heaven Hill, which is our featured distillery for the year. Each year we had Maker's Mark, we had Jim Beam Knob Creek. Last year we had Bardstown Bourbon Company. This year it's Heaven Hill. So they will be doing a bottle and bond. As most people know, Heaven Hill owns the most impressive bottle and bond inventory lineup. So they will be doing something this year on the bottle and bond focus. And we're pretty excited about that.
Awesome.
I mean, Bernie Lovers does such a great, we got to check him out at that other festival, and his presentation for Bottled in Bond is pretty amazing. I mean, what he does with the guitar and singing and explaining how special Bottled in Bond is. You just, until you've encountered that, you don't really realize how rare Bottled in Bond is. There's not a lot out there. You think there is, but there just isn't. So that's...
And Bernie has a Bottled in Bond tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got it.
I ran into him at that other festival wearing a Mellow Corn polo shirt, which I thought was amazing. Yeah.
Did you see
his... I will assure you that this year what Heaven Hill is doing in this Bottled in Bond event in the Great Tent will not be Mellow Corn level. I mean, I love Mellow Corn for an old fashioned, but they're going to be doing some elevated things that will be truly special for us this year.
That's awesome.
Randy, the one thing that touch on that's kind of off subject a little bit, but this year or in 2023 seemed to be significantly different, was the influence. I felt you could see it around the festival of the influencers, I guess you could call it, whether it be podcasts, TikTokers, Instagrams. There was a lot of people at the festival that are what you would probably say are, you know, famous, I guess. You know, there's people doing TikTok with bourbon and whiskey and Instagram, but it almost all of the big name people were there. And I think that too did something, because there was people going around taking pictures with them. That kind of drew some excitement, I think, as well.
Well, and I mean, I've seen you all. I mean, CT, Tiny, you know, Nash. I mean, I saw a lot of fanboying going on just with you guys. So, but yeah, it's taken a while. You know, I mean, influencers to me, I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I mean, everybody wants to be an influencer. Very few are really good at it and can get out there and kind of inspire people to engage in what they're doing. And I think we've got a few of those that can do that. We also have like industry writers, travel writers, and a number of the major, you know, spirits publications are partners with us, but it's taken a few years. I mean, you know that. I mean, I was selling a concept in 2020. You guys were involved previously and you embraced the change. You've told me some of the horror stories of what, you know, kind of what we used to be. And I mean, just from, you make a huge investment in time and resources and hotels, and you're down there setting up. And then you really weren't engaging with the top bourbon enthusiasts from the public. And now I think we've created that environment, which is perfect for you. But, you know, the Scotchy Bourbon Boys were the first ones to embrace that. And you know, I'm an honorary member, or, you know, and El Presidente, I wear that badge probably. But, you know, I think you're right, CT. I think it's definitely turned. And, you know, last year was the first year that we kind of broke media out from kind of the run of the herd, and we created a separate venue for them, and we're going to be doing that again this year. So last year you had your own dedicated space with a bar and catering. It was air conditioned. We had a lounge area, so it's kind of a VIP just for you. This year, we're going to continue that. We're expanding it to have two interview suites. So last year, if you were in there, you know, it was kind of a noise, a lot of ambient noise, and kind of tough for you to conduct your podcasts and interviews with the different master distillers. So this year, we're creating two different little recording suites off to the side where you can go in. We're adding more, like, outlets, you know, working tables where you can plug in your laptops and your microphones and kind of do some of that stuff there. So it's still going to be a little bit of a VIP catering area for you, but it's also a very serious workspace for our media and our podcasters and influencers. But it's huge, man. That's such an important part of our word of mouth is.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think that having that, to be able to bring that to people who can't make it, get a ticket, whatever, for them to be able to almost feel like they're able to sit there and have a conversation, you know, be involved in it. Just like when we do it, a lot of times we do a live on Facebook and people have the chance to interact, ask questions like they are now. Yeah. And I do think people enjoy that they get a chance to say what they may want to say.
Well, and you know, one thing the pandemic year taught us when we had to do the virtual and we went all to our YouTube channel and all of our educational sessions were produced and then put on YouTube, that was a great audience builder for us. People that had never heard of us, and quite frankly, if not for the pandemic, may not have been out there searching the internet for content, and they tripped upon us and they loved what they saw, so they wanted to come. I mean, I'm a realist. You know, this is now 2023, year four of the new model. And as much as we try to make sure there's something fresh every year, but yet something familiar, you know, people are, you know, the groups are starting to get into, okay, this year, instead of the Bourbon Festival, maybe we're going to go deep, you know, Gulf of Mexico fishing. We're going to go to a golf tournament. We're going to go and do a baseball stadium tour, you know, somewhere. So I know we're going to lose some people, but I'm also hoping that our influencers and our media will kind of one for one at least replace that group of six guys that are not going somewhere else. So the six girls that are going shopping here, we hope that we're replacing that. So the influencers and the podcasters and the media, they're still very important to us.
Well, what I've noticed just by ourselves and what the influencers are doing is you're getting a lot more young people involved. Okay. And this year, we do an annual bus tour on the Wednesday before the festival. And last year, we were in one bus. I think there was a total of, you could fit 12, and we had 10 on. The year before, we had two buses, and we had about 18 people. But this year, I've had requests to go on that bus tour of up to 30 people, and they're all wanting to come down to Kentucky Bourbon Festival because it's now kind of been established that you added in the whiskey aspect of being able to get those special bottles, plus the festival experience of tasting and everything. You're really getting it out. And last year, I think you got it out to a lot of the younger audience because the lot of the people that we're talking to are younger than, you know, and that's really good because that's just going to keep the bourbon thing going now that the younger crowd's starting to really grasp what's going on.
And that's a great point. And look at the six of us. We're, no offense to anybody, but we're old white guys. Mm-hmm. And the industry has been known as that forever. But if you look at our video, like our sizzle reel on our website, and you look at our social media, we're very diverse. We're very racially diverse, but also age. And I think 52% of the people that bought tickets last year were women. And so, I mean, if you look at what we're doing, the festival is anything but old, crusty white guys sitting around drinking bourbon like in the days of the past. It is very diverse. And I saw that with the beer festivals, and you look at the wine festivals. I mean, people are looking for that social engagement. There are people that come to the Bourbon Festival that only see each other and their friends, but they only see each other once a year in Bardstown. It's the bourbon capital of the world, but it also is kind of this great big reunion, and I love that. So if you look at our website and you look at our YouTube channel and look at that sizzle reel, it shows you what your experience will be. And I'm going next week in front of our little local Rotary Club, and I watched that video 100 times. But when I go and stand in front of that business community, there's 50 people looking at me, I get choked up because I'm so proud to show that video. I'm watching it and watching the reactions of the people. It hasn't always been like that, and you all know that. But I mean, what we've created here with the community is kind of the backdrop to this whole thing. Is something pretty special, and then, you know, it takes a lot of work and a lot of passion, and you guys have been there since before day one, so thank you.
And it takes a lot of people and a great group of people that you got. You got a great group of people behind you that's been helping you put this on.
And we've watched those
great shout out.
We've watched those people change over the years, and watched that staff gel. I mean, you've got the whole board. And everything, and how initially what you were trying to do, and you were spending a lot of time doing the transformation, but I really get the feeling that transformation's over, or this has made its own thing, and we're ready to go. So just go over one more time, Randy, for everybody out there, and then we'll finish up with a couple last questions. But the people who came in late, when is the festival? When, just go over it one more time as far as date, time, you know, when the tickets go on sale.
It's our 33rd year. It is September 13th, 14th, and 15th, with September 12th being Thursday night. That is our Bourbon in the Air opening night kickoff. But the main festival is noon to 6, noon to 6, noon to 4, with an 11 o'clock a.m. one-hour early welcome for our VIPs. Tickets go on sale to the public April 17th, which is a Wednesday. But 2 weeks from today, I hope, are on April 16th to our insiders. I'd like to think that a lot of our VIPs and our main run for tickets will be already sold out. We've sold out every year since we've started this, and I don't see this being any change. If you have any questions, go to kyurbanfestival.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. That really is where you're going to see all the latest, like what distilleries are going to be there. We have a couple of new corporate sponsors that are going to be really fun for us this year. But most importantly, how to get your tickets and how to get your hotels and how to move around once you're there. There'll be some special, like now, you know, 30 days out from the festival. What can you do? How do you enhance and expand your experience now that you're here? The shuttles and hotels is something that's very important. And I try not to ignore any one of those little details. I think your experience begins like tonight, and you go to our website and you look at our social media, you come to our box office in a couple weeks and buy your ticket, hotel planning, how you're going to get here, and then what your experience is while you're here, and also what your experience is in the evenings when you're around town and enjoying Bardstown. It's the bourbon capital of the world. It's one of the most beautiful small towns in America, and it's culturally, it's just a really cool experience.
Cool.
Hey, now that you bring that up, once the festival gets here, during that week, around the town of Bardstown, a lot of the restaurants and the bars and things like that, they will be having special events and things like that. Will you be listing those on your website? Is there made available to you?
Yeah. And not only that, but also we've been encouraging our distilleries. Again, one of the reasons we close at 6 is to allow the distilleries to showcase their venues in the evening. So you got Heaven Hill and you've got Lux Row, and Bardstown Bourbon Company does a tremendous job with doing that. So we will be promoting that. We've also got something, you know, that I think Piney won't go to sleep for the next 5 months once he learns about this. But if you remember, you know, years ago, we would do something over there at Fred and Sandy's house in the evening in the backyard, private.
Mm-hmm.
There may or may not be something like that coming up this year, kind of a return. Those details will be hammered out in the near future.
Heard a lot about those. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Well, now they have an in-ground trampoline, so do we get to use it?
Neither confirm nor deny any of those details.
So, Barrelhead, do you, out of all listening to this, do you have any questions?
Do you have, as far as, like, vendor areas, like people making stuff out of furniture and stuff, like out of barrels and
So we have the kind of the reclaimed barrel furniture, and we have a Cruise Customs is making a large American flag out of reclaimed bourbon barrels. We've got your honeys and your syrups and candles and things like that. It's all got a bourbon theme. We also have artists that have done paintings and things like that. And I've been trying for years, and I feel like this is the first year where I'm actually going to get a plein air program. So artists that are actually sitting out there on the lawn with their easels, painting as you can watch. You can buy the painting right off the easel if you want. And I've been working on something like that here, and I feel like it's finally taking root. We also partner with Bourbon with a Heart. So inside the VIP, there's going to be artists painting barrel staves and kind of doing that as their own little fundraiser. So that's kind of part of our outreach. But yeah, so we'll have probably 40 to 45 vendors in the church parking lot right next to the Bourbon Festival. So if you were there last year where the food trucks were, the food trucks are going out on the street. We're closing the entire Fifth Street for the week. And so that little church parking lot next door is going to be our marketplace vendors, where that media tent that we talked about earlier, the great tent that we also talked about earlier, all of that will be out in the church parking lot this year. So it's probably our last step expansion. Again, we're going vertical in a couple spots, but that's probably about as wide as we can get in that little downtown area. We're starting to make the higher and better use. All the distilleries get first priority on the lawn, then everything else kind of gets moved around.
Nice. Randy, you're saying the food trucks will move out to where everybody came in and like loaded when they were setting up their displays and dropping off, so they'll be all down that main road.
Yeah, I mean, the food trucks will be going from one end of the street to the other directly across.
Stop sign to stop sign.
That's probably better for them. That's probably better for them, actually.
It is. And we're adding two additional gates. So now along that front, everybody will still come in the two main gates, like either VIP or that main gate where you walk through the brick house.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're in, and we feel like most of the people are in, we're going to create two little in and out gates for people that want to go out into the food truck area without having to walk all the way across to get out that. So there'll be a couple of little secondary gates that people will be able to use during the weekend. So, and again, the food trucks, I mean, it's open to the public. So the food trucks will be outside of the gated area. So there's a lot of people that come into town that maybe don't even know the Bourbon Festival is happening, but they would, you know, certainly come down and check us out and at least be able to enjoy the food trucks.
Randy, are you guys kicking around like something like a park and ride or anything like that? Because I knew that a Fifth Street spot was one of my favorite places to park.
And this year will be a ticket in tow. I mean, we work with a local company that they're looking at doing two different loops. One that would be hotels to the festival, and the other one, the same company, but another loop that would be the festival out to the different distilleries and restaurants. And that will kind of change depending on the time of the day. So early in the morning and later in the afternoon, the hotel service will be taken care of a little heavier, and then obviously during the day, because a lot of people, because with our tickets, they're RFID wristbands, so unlimited come and go, so a lot of people come in right away and buy their bottles and kind of get their you know experience, and they go off and do a distillery tour and then want to come back in later in the afternoon. So a lot of that, but those details will be on the website once they become clear. But we're still kind of in that early concept phase of how do we make sure we can responsibly move people around and make sure that people aren't staying there waiting too long. But all of that will be on the website as the summer kind of progresses.
I know we talked a lot about the VIPs, but I don't want to undersell what great value the general admission ticket is. I mean, you get access to basically everything but the fancy tent. But if you think about it, you got 50 plus distilleries with four expressions each on average. So there's 200 pours. So for $180 or $185, you're under a buck a pour.
Right.
So,
well, yeah.
And, you know, I think the Scotchy Bourbon Boys are going to have an around the world ticket. So, you know, if you try all 200 expressions, you'll get a Glencairn. That'd be a hell of a challenge in 16 hours.
Hey, that's not sponsored by me. I know, Randy, I can't bring my Glencairns there.
Well, but that's a great point.
What we're going to do is already consorted with Carl on Whiskey on this. We're going to have punch cards made up, and if they bring the punch card back, we'll ship it to them later.
There's always a workaround, right, Randy?
I don't want to hear about it, and I don't want to see it. I've got to maintain plausible deniability.
There you go.
It was Sergeant Schultz's on that one, huh?
You jackals get away with things that most people don't.
I promise to behave. I do.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, everybody. That was weather cooperated. We're all still here, so I'm excited about that. But thank you so much, Randy, for coming on the podcast. Again, it's just a great podcast. I can't wait to get this out to everybody across all the platforms. But once again, we've kicked it off and we're 5 months away, but it seems like it'll be here tomorrow. So
All I can say is you probably might need to add a few extra servers and a couple extra computers and have those techs standing by on April 17th because ticket sales are going to explode. They're going to be better than last year.
Oh, I hope so. And thank you all for what you do. And I mean, not just on this kind of stuff, but I mean, year round. And I mean, Ty and I, you know, going to Lambeau to watch the Packers play. And I mean, I'm a Scotchy bourbon boy, for God's sake.
So. Yes, you are. You sure are.
We appreciate you.
Hell, you gave me my podcast name, Super Nash.
I remember that night sitting down there at that dining room table.
Yeah.
Eating on a tambourine or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
The Bongos. Yeah, yeah. It's changed a little bit since then, right? Overall, yeah. All right, everybody. We're the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We had El Presidente on tonight. We were honored. And
Kentucky Bourbon Festival.
Yep, everything about Kentucky Bourbon Festival. Check us out on all the major podcast formats and Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and what did I put? X. How can I forget X? And then also all the major podcast formats. You know, we're there. If you listen to it, you can hear us. And make sure that you check us out also on www.scotchybourbonboys.com. This is going really well because I don't think I've had a pour tonight. So this is what happens when I'm not in my zone. And then also remember, everybody, good bourbon equals good times and good friends and great festivals. And make sure you don't drink and drive. You drink responsibly and go out and live your life dangerously. Little Steve-O's going to take us out.
Cheers, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for watching and tuning in. It was great.
Peace, President.
That's the one I want.
Love you, boys.
Oh, love you, man.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the arts.